For you this morning. This morning, for the first time ever, we normally have our city job fair with 10 to 12 employers from around the city and county of Denver. However, this morning, we are highlighting over 158 city jobs. Please give a hand for that. We are happy to have our city jobs here today. We also have jobs available for DPS, and if there's anything that you need, please let us know. We also have those who will be hosting us today with Carla Madison Recreation Center, and they will be in the red vest or red jackets if you need any assistance. Without further ado, let us go ahead and get started, all right? I just want to do a few housekeeping things. We are here as guests at Carla Madison, and therefore we will not have any outside signage. All of the signage that you will see this morning during the Mayor's Cabinet Community has been previously approved. If your signage has not been previously approved, it is my request that you please do not display it or hand it out. Thank you. Without further ado, I would like to introduce and bring to the podium this morning the Executive Director for Parks and Recreation, Happy Haynes. Give her the love of the Mount High City.
Thank you, Sean, and good morning. That was all right. Not enough coffee yet. There's coffee in the other room. Good morning. I'm delighted to welcome you to our 30th Recreation Center in Denver, Carla Madison Recreation Center. And Carla would be so tickled to have this group in this room. So let's make sure that her spirit follows us all morning long, and so I'm so glad to have you here and to welcome you to one of our fine recreation centers. So if this recreation center was open this morning, there would be about three times as many people that are in this room in somewhere in here, people waiting for machines back there, people swimming laps downstairs, kids dragging their parents out early in the morning to get on the slide downstairs, classes where people are waiting in line to get in the door. This is a very, very busy recreation center that serves a very diverse community, and we're very proud of it. I want to acknowledge our recreation supervisor who runs the most amazing tight ship here, Matt Draper. Let's say thank you to Matt and his team. Love to have the rest of my colleagues from Parks and Recreation just raise your hands and be acknowledged for the tremendous work that you do every day. The mayor and I just came from an event in Cheeseman Park with Councilman New. Today is Arbor Day, and so all the tree huggers in Denver were at Cheeseman Park, helping us to plant 150 trees there. And then just down the road at the City Park Greenhouse this morning, the park people in Denver Ditch Trees are distributing hundreds of trees to citizens in Denver. So we're very proud of the work that we do in partnership with so many wonderful organizations that care so deeply about our city. And so again, I just want to say welcome to all of you to Cabinet in the Community. I'm introducing Councilman Brooks. Councilman Albus Brooks from the fine District 9. I beat you to it. who is a champion for all of the work that we do in Denver Parks and Recreation, and we just want to say thank you, Councilman Brooks, and but particularly for his staunch devotion to the young people in our community to make sure that they have opportunities and to make sure that what we do in Parks and Recreation serves them best. And so it's just my extreme pleasure to introduce to you Councilman Albus Brooks.
Good morning, good morning. I gotta find out this real quick. How many District 9 representatives do we have, people who live in District 9? Wave your hands in the air. Wave them like you just don't care. Thank you for being here this morning. I'm so excited to be at Carla Madison. You don't even know. I'm here about 4 or 5 days a week working out over there with about 1,000 other people. This is the largest populated recreation center in the city. And it was designed especially for you. It was designed especially for East High School students who take the bus to school every day. And literally, the path to the bus goes right through here, and they have to come through here first. And so because of what the mayor has done in allowing every young person in the city of Denver to come to a rec center for free, which should have always been, but he made it so, young people use this rec center, and I know Matt Draper knows that more than anybody else because he got to deal with them young people every day after school. So we're excited. My name is Albus Brooks. I represent this district, and it is a pleasure. I just want to give you the quick boundaries of District 9 because some folks don't know. Colorado Boulevard to your east, Colfax right there. We share a boundary with District 10 to the south. Goes all the way to I-25, around the I-70 in Glovelle, Elyria, Swansea, and back to Colorado Boulevard. So it is the urban district of the city, and it is the most diverse and eclectic district and toughest district. But we love it. We love it because we like to bring folks together. Let me just tell you some things that are happening. Obviously, the Carla Madison Rec Center is up and running. We're excited about that. Thank you, voters of Denver 2017, for passing the bond to allow us to do bus rapid transit on Colfax. So that will be coming and be implemented. Thank you so much. Over $50 million of bus rapid transit dollars coming. We will, and it's not on this part of the district, but on the other part of the district, on Downing and 37, we will be getting a full service grocery store that will be serving SNAP benefits, hiring our local young people. So we're really excited about that. There's a lot of exciting things happening in this district. But I just want to say, as I introduce the mayor, just for being in this building. I remember I took over for Carla Madison in District 8 in 2011. She unexpectedly died of cancer. And she had a list of to-dos that she wanted to accomplish. And this rec center was called Central Denver Rec Center at first. And this is one of the things she wanted to accomplish. And Councilwoman Jeannie Robb and I went into the mayor's office and said, we got to get this done. And he said, yeah, let's get it done, but there's no money. We only have $4 million. And we came up with a very complicated financing structure using Tabor Reserve funds to fund this rec center. And very few people talk about this. And most of the amazing things in my part of the city, in District 9, would not have happened without Mayor Hancock. Mayor Hancock's vision, his forcefulness to talk to his CFO and other leaders in the city to say, let's get this done. And so I just want to introduce our mayor and thank him for the partnership that we have in District 9. Give it up for our mayor, Michael B. Hancock.
Thank you, Councilman Brooks. Good morning, everyone. I am so proud to be here. We always enjoy cabinet and community. I want to thank Councilman Brooks and for his leadership. And I can't stress enough how important it is to have an optimistic, positive, forward-thinking leader in your councilmatic district and in the city in general. And so he is a joy to work with, joy to watch, and a lot of what's happening out here is due to his energy and positivity continue to push. So once again, let's celebrate Councilman Brooks and thank him for his leadership and being here. We have a lot of folks in this room, and I want to thank you all for your presence this morning. The Cabinet community is really about coming to the community. It's a unique effort to bring the entire Cabinet and all the other agencies and partners to one part of the city on a Saturday every quarter for folks to come face-to-face. Today, if you so choose, you can talk to me one-on-one, you can talk to Chief Pazin one-on-one, Happy Haynes one-on-one, Albus Brooks one-on-one, we got Denver Health and Hospital Authority here one-on-one. You can have a direct conversation with your elected, appointed, and career service leaders of the City of Denver. That is what we call bringing your government to you, meeting you where you are. Today in the room, we have several elected officials, and I want to acknowledge them. You met the councilman for this district, Albus Brooks. I'm going to ask if they will stand up. Let's first also acknowledge Beth McCann, our clerk and recorder. She's going to address us in just a moment. I said Beth McCann. I'm sorry. Beth McCann, our district attorney, right here. Deborah Johnson, our clerk and recorder. Come on, there she is. So wait. It's been a long election season. Beth McCann is our district attorney. Deborah Johnson is our clerk and recorder. Let's give them both a round of applause and thank them for their services. I apologize for that. Let's also give it up for our councilwoman at large. Robin Kanish is here. And I want to make sure no one has walked in since I sat down and I missed any of the elected officials. We also have all of our public safety agencies represented, our police, our fire, our sheriffs, our paramedics are here. I'm going to ask if you just, let's give a round of applause to our first responders, folks who take care of us, men and women in blue. Thank you all. Again, this is our cabinet and agency officials here. I'm going to ask if our public servants will raise your hand just so that folks know you're in the room. Thank you all for being here today. Giving them your Saturday up in the air. There you go. Thank you all so very much. And so we're going to have just a brief program, and then we're going to break off in our resource fair-like conversation today. I just want to share with you a couple things that's happening in the city of Denver that are top of mind as you begin the process of visiting with us. Just last week or 2 weeks ago, we hosted our fifth annual housing summit, and we had about 800 people attend that housing summit. It is at that housing summit that we were able to, over the last 5 years, really craft and generate energy around our efforts to house all Denver residents in accessible, affordable, attainable, and decent housing. Our efforts are still underway. But today, as a result of conversations at that housing summit, as well as the efforts of our housing advisory group, Denver today is investing more money in affordable housing than the entire state of Colorado. $60 million will be spent this year. There was $50 million spent last year. And I know we all agree there's a lot of work we have to do in terms of housing, and we have to continue our efforts to make this a regional effort. But I am proud that this is a community-led effort to make sure that we continue to stay focused on the priority of housing in the city of Denver. You know, there is not a greater crisis and challenge in America today than mental health. Everybody agree with that? We are facing what I would consider a state of emergency when it comes to addressing the issues of mental health. And as the federal and state levels of government try to figure out what to do, how to respond appropriately, in the meantime, we are seeing Dr. Robin Wittenstein, who is here from Denver Health and Hospital Authority, and thank you, Dr. Wittenstein, for all the work that you do, and you and your team do to support all of us in Denver, and particularly our indigent care residents of Denver, to respond to the mental health challenges of the city. And one of the things that we've done in partnership with our Denver Police Department, with Mental Health Center of Denver, is to create a national recognized program called Co-Responder. Anyone ever heard of Co-Responders? Well, yeah, it is a phenomenal effort. We have mental health professionals who sit in the second seat of our police cars. And they ride with our officers, they partner with our officers, and the goal is to break the very expensive cycle and come in contact with our mental health professionals, our behavioral health residents who are challenged with mental health issues. Instead of that cycle of from street to jail, back to the street, to citations, to court, these mental health professionals are helping us create direct pipeline from their home, from the streets, to services. It is a phenomenal effort that's taking place today. We have 24 co-responders working with our police department around the city of Denver. And if I can share with you a very brief story to underline that this is about all of Denver residents and how we break this cycle. I have a dear friend who is an accomplished professional who got in contact with me and asked if I would have coffee. And we sat down and we talked about the co-responder program, Chief, and what she shared with me was her desire to make sure that we always fund this program because it saved her life. As she experienced an unexpected death of her husband, and shortly thereafter she became an empty nester. Her kids were off to college. She found herself alone and almost by the minute was slipping deeper into depression to the point where she went off the radar. Friends who cared about her made a phone call to the police department asking for a welfare check. The officer responded, not knowing what they were looking for or what they were going to find, with a co-responder, a mental health professional. She didn't know about the co-responder program. She mentioned to me across the coffee table that co-responder saved her life, helped her get direct services, and she is now under treatment and doing very well today. And so that is an example of someone whose life was saved. We also want to mention the fact that our Gold Bond program that was approved by the voters in 2017 is well on its way. We are seeing projects all over to Denver. We have committed throughout that process that with the $947 million of bond capacity, that we want to build equity. And so today in this room, we have our small business development team here. If you are a small business operator, have some interest in interacting with our Gold Bond efforts in the city of Denver over the next 10 years, stop by Public Works, stop by our small business development office table, and inquire about how you can become involved in that. We want to see you involved. If you want to know more about information regarding the Gold Bond program, go to denvergov.org/2017GoldBond. Well, now we're ready for some updates, and I'm excited about all that's happening in this district and throughout the city of Denver. What we're going to see today, we're going to hear an update from, of course, our police chief and commander of this district. Then we're going to have Ashley Kilroy come up and give a report. It's Ashley, right? Okay, excise and licensing. Happy Haynes has already spoken, but we will also have our clerk and recorder come forward and give us a report as well. I think I've got some.
Deborah.
Yeah, that's Deborah Johnson. Yes, yes. Thank you, Happy. Yes, Deborah Johnson is going to come up and thank you. Man, you can't make a mistake in this city, man. So why don't we go ahead and get started? Y'all ready to roll? We're ready to roll. Let's get our brief reports. Let's start with the Honorable Deborah Johnson, our clerk and recorder. It's election season in Denver, Colorado.
Sorry about that, my friend.
I think I got a promotion out of this somehow. Sorry, Beth. Sorry. Anyway, good morning, Denver. First, I just want to say thank you. It has been really an honor and privilege to serve as your clerk and recorder for this fine city. 8 years ago, I had no idea what that journey would have brought, but it has been so fulfilling and so rewarding. It's beyond words. So thank you, citizens of Denver, for trusting me, supporting me, and really, really putting, you know, elections and marriage licenses, marriage equality, and all those things forth. So thank you so much for your support. So there is a big event just around the corner. I'm sure some of the elected officials here are, you know, sitting on the edge of their seat, just waiting to hear those results. Well, anyway, in just 10 days, is on May 7th, is the Denver municipal election. This morning, I wanted to show a video that we put together that really shows the importance of the local elections. Please, we weren't able to show it here, but please go to our website and show it, view it. It is really important to vote at the local level. Who takes care of those potholes? Who takes care of the barking dog? Who makes sure that water comes out of your faucet? Please, vote. It's very important. If you haven't received your ballot yet, I'm sorry. However, it's not too late. Please go to one of the 7 vote centers that will be open up on Monday and pick up a ballot. But do not put it in the post office. Please drop it off at one of our 28 24-hour drop boxes. It will get to us faster. The post office only guarantees 5-day delivery now, so it's way too close by Monday to put it in the post office. Please drop it off. So, what is on the ballot? We do not have any Tabor issues on this ballot. We have 2 initiatives. One of them is Right to Survive, which is question 300. Then there's the Cybo Silber something, decriminalization. I think it's, oh, psilocybin, there you go. I knew it was something like that. Yeah, it's something to do with mushrooms, that's all I know. So it's question 301. And then of course there's elected officials. We have 10 candidates for mayor, which includes 4 write-ins. We have 3 candidates for clerk and recorder, 6 candidates for council at large, 39 candidates for city council, including 3 write-ins. So I just want to make sure you think that's a lot. It is a lot for a municipal election to have that many candidates on there. But one of the new services that we're offering this year is an interactive ballot on our website, which has hyperlinks in it that you can hyperlink on a candidate's name and it will go to their website. So you can do easy research on all of the candidates and even on the issues. You can click on the issue number and it will go right to their website to find out more information. Another innovative service that we're doing this year is we're doing a pilot for mobile voting for overseas and military voters. They can actually vote on their telephone and cast their ballot through the phone, but it comes back through the blockchain. So it's very secure coming back to us. So we've seen a lot of interest, and the comments that we've received from the overseas and military voters is that, you know, I don't want to vote any other way now. So hopefully this will be something of the future, but it definitely is a success currently in Denver. And another thing, too, is we are also offering a similar type service for the disabled community. We can send them a ballot, but sometimes that is not, you know, something that they can actually cast a ballot on a piece of paper. So historically, they have had to come into one of our vote centers and vote on a machine. Well, now we are giving them that same type of service of sending them an electronic ballot so that they can vote that ballot with any assistive equipment or devices that they may have at home so that they could cast that ballot. Also, I'm sure everybody wants to know, when are we going to put the results out for the election? We will start putting election results out at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, May 7th. And then we will post election results every 90 minutes. If we are still counting after 11:30, we will post our last election result at midnight, and then we're going to go home. Just want to make sure everybody knows we're going to go home. But, and then we'll start counting again on Wednesday morning at 8 a.m., and then we'll start reporting those results every 90 minutes again on Wednesday morning. So one of the cool things about Denver is candidates have to win by 50% plus one, all but the at-large candidates. The at-large candidates is his top two. Whoever gets the top two vote-getters are your candidates. But the others have to win by 50 plus one. So in the event that there are candidates that do not win by 50 plus one, we will have another election on June 4th. Don't forget, this one is just as important as the one in May. So please vote on the ballot that you will receive on June 4th for any candidates that didn't get a majority. So anyway, please, I'm just going to reemphasize, May 7th, drop your ballots off. Don't put them in the post office. And good luck, candidates.
Good job. Silver,
thank you, Clerk Johnson, for that update. Very important election in the city of Denver. We have, along with the clerk and recorder, a couple other leaders of independent agencies here. I just want to acknowledge them. Of course, we acknowledge Dr. Robin Wittenstein from Denver Health and Hospitals Authority. Stand up so everyone can see you, Dr. Robin Wittenstein. I see Michelle Jesk, our city librarian, is in the house as well. Thank you, Michelle. Nick Mitchell, our independent monitor, is here as well. Thank you, Nick. And anyone here from the auditor's office? No? Well, we want to thank our auditor as well for the work that he does as well. Let's bring up our illustrious and smiling police chief. Y'all make some noise for Paul Pazin.
You bet, go ahead. I'm going to actually work this way.
Okay, you bet.
So, Mayor, thank you very much. Councilman Brooks, it is great to be here in fine District 9, especially when you have the opportunity to represent Denver's finest. It's a great place to be. We handed out some strategic plan one-pager for everybody there. It typically takes us about an hour to go through our very detailed strategic plan. We got 6 minutes, so we're not going to be able to do that. Ultimately, the strategic plan that our team was able to implement is represented in five icons. It's the foundation of the Denver Police Department of treating people with respect and dignity. It's reducing social harms, including mental health, substance abuse, fear of crime, multimodal transportation. It's implementing our precision policing model, which is a geographical component, an innovation component, and a technology component. It's what we believe in, taking care of the people who take care of the people. And it's our long-term strategy of putting the public in public safety to revolutionize law enforcement. This is the foundation. This is where we are. This is where we're going. This is how we're going to get there. This is what we believe in. Now, we've had the opportunity to implement that plan, and we are giving the first quarter results. I want to start by indicating that Denver is a remarkably safe city. Denver, compared to similar cities across the country, we do very well. But we're not satisfied with that. We're seventh on the list. Our goal next year is to be fifth on the list. And the year after that, to be third on the list. And the year after that, to be first. So that's our goal. We recently pulled our first quarter stats, and we're making progress. Violent crime is down 3.3%, property crime down 4.7%, total crime 6.2%. Part of our precision policing model also was the institution of the Domestic Violence Prevention Program. This was in collaboration with the Denver District Attorney's Office, the Denver City Attorney's Office, the Rose Andam Center, and countless advocates to help us. For the first time, we are actually seeing decreases in domestic violence. Domestic violence. Uh, In a growing city, domestic violence impacts all socioeconomic classes, and we saw a trend line that matched the growth in our city. By coming up with an innovative strategy, a collaborative approach, we're starting to see decreases not only in victims, but also in calls for service. So significant progress in the first quarter of the year. One of my favorite indicators is this. We have a 9.1% decrease in arrests, nearly 10% decrease in arrests. But I just told you that crime is down. This shows us that it's not about arresting people for public safety. It shows that arresting the right people, focusing your efforts on those that create the greatest harm, those that exploit our vulnerable populations, guns, drug dealers, focusing our efforts on the right areas is how we can have a decrease in total arrests and a decrease in crime. I guess I have a few favorite slides, right? For the first time in Denver's history, as of Monday, this past Monday, there are 1,610 Denver police officers. First time that we were able to break that barrier. That's great. We reconfigured, we reorganized, we were able to increase patrol staff by 5% in 2019 over 2018. That helps us in addressing those crime issues and reducing the social harms. This number was attained on Monday when 17 laterals and 52 basic recruits entered the academy here. I'm also proud to say that over 40% of our police recruits are women and people of color. This shows the impact we are getting to those high priority calls quicker. 2018, we see this trend line, 11 minutes and 53 seconds. In 2019, with that 5% increase in patrol, we're down to 11 minutes and 4 seconds. We expect to go below 11 minutes in 2019. And last but not least, in partnership with community members, with the Office of Independent Monitor, we instituted a very progressive and strong use of force policy. Now, we also train every last officer in the department, 8 hours of intensive training on our use of force policy. That was completed in 2018, December of 2018, and here are the results. A 25% decrease in use of force by our officers. So with that, we will conclude. We will continue to answer any questions here at our table, but we look forward to additional collaboration and innovation to help this city, to help the people that make up this city, to have a vibrant community where people can live, work, and play and have a high quality of life. So thank you very much.
Good job, Chief. That's an excellent report. Excellent report.
Keep it going for our police department, Chief Pays and his leadership team. That is as good a report as you can ever ask for from your police department. And let me just say this. One of the things that is in transition, go ahead, Sean, we are seeing happening in our law enforcement areas, in the sheriff's department, as well as the police department, is how do we address the whole person and the whole anatomy of the community. Chief used a word called reducing social harms. Manager, Director of Safety, Troy Riggs, talks about the Opportunity Index. And as you look at both of those modules, they're talking about the whole person. And how do we reduce crime and incidents of engagement with our law enforcement? By addressing all of the other mitigating circumstances that may lead someone to this, to the circumstance that we're dealing with. So thank you. It is showing that it's working. Thank you for your leadership, Chief. All right, Happy Haynes, you're up next. Come on down. You have your chance for a presentation.
Thank you, Mayor. You heard a little bit earlier about our wonderful recreation staff here. I'm going to give you a little bit of update on some things that are happening in our parks. But before I do that, and the mayor also mentioned My Denver Card, where the numbers of kids that we are serving, the first year we had maybe 30 or 40% of the kids in Denver who had signed up. Today we have over 100,000 kids who have My Denver Cards and free access. Yes. And not only free access to our recreation centers, but because of extraordinary partnerships with many of our cultural institutions, access to our libraries, to our zoo, to our museums. And so we are just really thrilled about the results of that program. And then, because we believe that a city that is the most livable city and welcoming to all is a city that is great for 8-year-olds and great for 80-year-olds. And we know that if we can do that, then it's a city that's great for everyone. And as a part of that, not only do we have the My Denver Card for our children, but we have My Denver Prime, which provides free access to all of our older adults above the age of 60 in Denver. In the first year year of this program, we have more than doubled the number of older adults who are using it. And these are new users of our facilities, and it means that we're helping to address some of the healthy living factors in our neighborhoods and in our community. So we're very proud of that. On to parks, and I see we have our superintendent of our East District, Adam Smith. Raise your hand, Adam, who takes wonderful care of our parks, from City Park to Fuller Park to parks out near Lowry, a tremendous team that keep our parks in such great condition. So thank you, Adam, to you and your team. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about some new parks and updates to our parks in this area. Starting first in our Park Hill community, the new park, Pocket Park on 29th and Fairfax. We just had the last community design meeting 2 nights ago, where community members came to see the preferred design, which are these two. These two. 29th Avenue Park, a little pocket park right in the middle of 29th and Fairfax. To serve an area of the community, even though Park Hill is a community that people think of trees and parks, it really is park deficient, and so we were able to find a wonderful location to serve communities, the Park Hill community. We have a vision and a standard in parks that every citizen should live within a 10-minute walk of a quality park or trail. And we're well along the way, at almost 85% in the city, but that last 15% is going to be a challenge, because we already have a well-developed city, and so we're working hard to get to 100% of our residents living within a 10-minute walk. So that tiny little park on Fairfax is going to have a nice playground, an interactive water feature, game tables, picnic tables to bring the community together, and shade trees, and just be a wonderful amenity, an art wall that celebrates the community and the culture of that area. Now over here to the left at City Park, the City Park Master Plan. Yeah, there we go, Councilman Brooks. The City Park Master Plan was completed in just this past December after a two-year process. Wonderful involvement of citizens throughout the City Park community. And we're just really excited about having that master plan to guide us. And this is the People's Park. It serves a very diverse community, not only around City Park, but throughout the community. The designs that you see here are the Dustin Red Playground in City Park. In local language, that's the big playground. It's on the west side of City Park. And the new Dustin Red Playground and Picnic Area will feature a castle tower with a slide, a rope bridge, some skywalks, a dragon slide. This is, we had a lot of children participating in our design process, so we got dragons. We have an under 5-year-old playground to serve our youngest. And a scooter track. So we really, with the input of the community, have created what I think will be a really stunning playground to serve all of the City Park neighborhoods. The City Park South. Now this is the little playground in local parlance, and that is the playground that's just west of the Museum of Nature and Science. And that whole South Meadow, we have a plan there to ensure that that part of the park is a more natural environment, that it has a diverse and natural landscape, and that it provides opportunities for children and families to explore nature. So we're very excited about a partnership with the Denver Museum of Nature and Science, who are leading the effort in the community to plan a nature play. Playground that will serve some of our younger children in that South Meadow. In addition, we've got a City Park tennis court lighting project, so the tennis courts that are well used on the west side of City Park will be furnished with new lighting for that tennis court. Further east of us, The Central Park Playground in the Stapleton neighborhood, another very well-loved playground, is going to be, we're working on the design for that now. The concept design will be completed at the end of May, and we'll be working closely with the neighborhood there to formalize the design. There will be some new play elements, some additional picnicking opportunities, lots more shade. For those of you who've been there, know that parents watching kids play it's a suntan for sure. And we are going to make some enhancements for accessibility to that playground. So we're very excited about those upgrades at the Central Park. On the far right is the Greenway Park Playground. This is just off of Montview Boulevard. It's part of the Westerly Creek Greenway, and there will be a new playground concept for that also at the end of May. This is another one of our playgrounds. It's going to feature nature play elements that respond to the natural feature that we have there in Westerly Creek with the topography and the lower areas that will sometimes have water and sometimes not. But it'll be a play area, but also an opportunity for our children and for our families to understand the role that our greenways play in managing storm runoff. So we anticipate that project to start construction at the end of this year and being completed in 2020. As well, one of our very oldest neighborhoods, for those of you who've had youngsters in East Denver playing football, this is one of the major fields that our kids play football and soccer. It's the McNichols Playground, south of Montview. And it is using the bond funds that the mayor referred to. We will be upgrading the playground in that neighborhood. And finally, in the Northfield area, north of 56th Avenue, we will be adding about 150 acres of new parks, the Sand Hills Prairie Park, the Prairie Meadows Park, the Cottonwood Gallery, and the Willow Bark Dog Park, and the 56th Avenue Greenway. You'll notice from these names and from a couple of the playgrounds that I've mentioned that we are really on a mission to restore and provide opportunities for our citizens to interact and connect with nature. So we, as a result of our game plan, which we'll be sending to City Council in just another month, we are planning to convert about 10% of our parkland into natural areas so that our citizens can experience more opportunities to enjoy nature right here in our backyard. We will also stepping up our efforts to let our Denver residents know something that the mayor is always so proud to remind everyone, and that is that in addition to these beautiful urban parks that we have in Denver, we do have 14,000 acres of mountain parks just west of us, and we want more of our Denver residents to take advantage of those parks, so you can look to seeing more programming, opportunities for us to transport, particularly our children and our older adults, into these beautiful spaces. So look for some new information to come soon. I want to thank our communications and marketing team who are here and out in these communities. Every one of these plans that you see, that team is out getting communities activated and participating. So when you see a park or a new feature, know that it's the community around that neighborhood that has helped design and create it. And finally, let me acknowledge Scott Gilmore, Deputy Executive Director, our leader in parks. Thank you. Scott is the reason why we have such amazing parks in Denver. Thank you all. I'll turn it back over to the mayor.
Thank you, Happy, and what a great report. You can see we are getting done the commitment and the desires of the people in terms of our parks. And one of the things she did mention, she may have earlier, and that is regarding our tree canopy that we are focused on expanding in the city of Denver. So to Happy Haynes, the entire parks and recreation teams, thank you very much for all that you do. We're almost done. We got some last minute. Give it up for all of our presenters, by the way. I also going to ask you if you would join me in thanking our facilities, our recreation team here at Carla Madison, as well as our Denver 8 teams who arrived early this morning to get set up for us to do this and always are the foundation in which we stand on to do these great events. Would you give our team members a round of applause? Thank you all so very much. I must also remind everyone, it's Denver Days time. We've opened up registration to register your events for Denver Days. You might recall that's the 1 week observance of Denver Pride where we come together and celebrate our pioneers, and we encourage people to get together as communities to put together block parties or service days or community get to know you days, a party in the park, whatever. And the city of Denver during that week waives your permit fees and your barricades. We bring you barricades. It's a great way to come together. This is the sixth year we've done Denver Days. It's actually an ordinance in the city of Denver that observes the first week of August. And we have now over 250 events on average that take place throughout the city of Denver during this week. So mark this down, August 3rd through the 11th, Denver Days in Denver, Colorado. You can register your event at denvergov.org/Denver Days. So please think about doing a block party or service day event. Come on in here, Animal Protection Division. We've got Bert and Sansa. Now, we're going to do this real quick because I always ask. This is my favorite part of Cabinet Community, where we get to bring the little animals up here and remind people that Denver has an award-winning animal protection program, and we have animals who are ready for adoption. And today we have Bert here and Sansa, and Sansa is named after
Game of Thrones.
So tell us, if somebody's interested in adopting Bert or Sansa or any other animal at Denver Animal Protection, where do they go?
They go down to 1241 West Bayard Avenue. It's Denver Animal Shelter over off I-25 in Alameda. We've got animals available 7 days a week.
And can they go online and see what animals are available?
Yes, and our website is updated once an hour.
And what's the website address?
DenverAnimalShelter.org.
DenverAnimalShelter.org. You got something to say, Bert? All right. Thank you, Animal Protection. And let's find a home for Bert and Sansa, two wonderful chihuahuas. Thank you, Bert. All right, folks. We are on schedule. Make some noise. Presenters did it well. We are on schedule. On your seat, there are surveys in which we ask you to fill out and let us know what you thought of the presentations. I got to tell you, these are some of the best presentations I've seen in Cabinet and Community today. I think very substantive and very well done. We ask if you'll remain in your seats so that those surveys can be filled out. And I'm going to bring Sean Johnson up. Sean? And our community engagement team, I know that Jessica was involved, and who else?
Pity Mades.
Would you give it up for our coordinators for our cabinet community?
Thank you, thank you. Wow, those were indeed great presentations, a lot of great work. I was really happy to hear that the kids are the ones who picked the dragons. It's so good to know that we as a city include all of our community residents, including our children. It's a big deal that they have a voice about our parks and what's happening in our community. If I can have everyone stay in their seats, each and every one of you has a pink survey, if you can hold it up for me. That would be great. We would love to have you fill those out. Don't worry about filling them out just now. We'll walk around to your tables. And for those of you who are visiting tables, we will walk around and pick those up for you. Mayor Michael B. Hancock's table will be just to my left over here if you're interested in seeing the mayor. Happy Haynes, where's your table? Happy Haynes' table's right in the back over there. Chief, where's your table? Right in the back. We want to make sure. Over there. We want to make sure that you are able to go to the clerk and recorder's table, that you are able to see city council and all of our city leaders. So please take the time to fill out those surveys for us. We'll pick them up. It's really important that you do that. The only way that we can make a cabinet in the community fit your needs and respond to what you're asking is if you communicate with us, okay? At this time, I'm going to ask that everyone rises up, fill those out, and enjoy the city fair portion of this mayor's cabinet community. Thank you so much.